And the second lesson this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness so that the devil might tempt him. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was starving. The tempter came to him and said, "Since you are God's son, command these stones to become bread." Jesus replied, "It's written, people won't live only by bread, but by every word spoken by God." After that, the tempter brought him into the holy city and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down, for it is written, I will command my angels concerning you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus replied, "Again, it is written, don't test the Lord your God." Then the devil brought him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, "I will give you all of these if you bow down and worship me." Jesus responded, "Go away, Satan, because it's written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil left him, and angels came and took care of him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, it's no accident that Jesus winds up in the wilderness after his baptism. He is not lost. He is not being punished for some things he has done wrong, even though lots of folks today make that assumption about their own wilderness experiences. Instead, Jesus has been led by the Holy Spirit for a purpose, to be tempted or tested, the Greek word here can mean both, by the devil. And his debate, recorded in today's scripture text from Matthew, functions as an assessment, a proof of his readiness for the mission entrusted to him as God's beloved son. Through this wilderness test, Jesus stands squarely in the long history of the people, God, stretching all the way back to Adam and Eve, has put forward to encounter the devil in crossroads moments. Now, seldom does our lectionary give us such richness in Scripture. Two of the most powerful and evocative stories in the Bible on the same day. And when it comes to stories about temptation, these readings just about cover the waterfront, don't they? First is that familiar account of Adam and Eve and their problems in the garden. Here they are in paradise. Everything is going just great. And along comes this devious snake with a smooth line and some new ideas. And next thing you know, temptation triumphs. Paradise is history, all is lost, and the man and the woman are left with fig leaves and painful regrets. Then, in a powerful contrast, Jesus is driven from his baptism into the wilderness, which is just about as far from paradise as one can get. There, unlike Adam and Eve, who were surrounded by ease and plenty, Jesus is exhausted, starving, and alone as he struggles with his time of temptation and challenge. These two stories form such an obvious contrast that it's impossible not to compare them and to look for what emerges when they are taken together. On one level, it looks simple enough. Jesus is the winner, and Adam and Eve are the losers. They are weak, and he is strong. So it's better to be like Jesus than like Adam and Eve. Pretty simple. What's more, since today is the first Sunday in Lent, there is the added point that Lent is supposed to make us stronger as well. So we will be more like Jesus than like Adam and Eve, at least as far as such things as temptations are concerned. Throughout the scriptures, the wilderness represents a place of preparation, a place of waiting for God's next move, a place of learning to trust God's guidance and God's mercy. 40, the days and nights during which Noah and his family endured the deluge on board the ark, after which God made a rainbow covenant never to destroy the earth again. 40, the days and nights Moses fasted on Mount Sinai as he received the words of God's covenant with the Israelites. 40, the days and nights Elijah fasted in the desert before receiving a new commission from God. 40, the years the Israelites wandered in the wilderness in preparation for their arrival in the promised land. 40, the days and nights Jesus remains in the wilderness without food, getting ready for what comes next. 40, the days in the season of Lent during which Christians participate in Jesus' ministry and follow his way to the cross. Doubtless, the disciplined rigor of a holy Lent can take us several important steps in the right direction. And the spiritual muscles or habits or virtues we develop with disciplines like Lent are exactly the same ones we use in real life, when the decisions we make can have vastly more important and immediate consequences. Don't forget, what makes the story of Adam and Eve a true story is not that it describes literally something that happened somewhere else a long time ago. That's really not what's at issue here. What makes the story of Adam and Eve a true story is that it describes exactly what human life was like then, and what it is like here and now. It tells the truth not just about Adam and Eve, but about us. Over and over, we find ourselves just like them, forced to choose between what's popular or enjoyable, what gives us power or advantage or control, and what's faithful, the desires of the ego and those of the spirit. The temptations we encounter in today's scriptures show us something important. It's not that food or power or knowledge or leadership or control are inherently wrong or inherently evil, but rather that they can be used for the wrong ends in the wrong contexts. And so we're left with some essential questions to guide our Lenten journey together through the wilderness. How might we make ourselves ready for the way of the Lord in the places we are called to be? To what mission and ministry is God calling this church right here, right now? What is present in this congregation and what is needed corporately and individually to be prepared? Notice again what's going on in Jesus' temptation experience. He has fasted and prayed for a long time, and he's famished. He's exhausted, worn out, and beat up from the weather and the loneliness and the effort it takes just to sustain himself. He's certainly not at his best. He's not bursting with physical or spiritual or emotional strength. He's used all of that up in just making it to where he is, in just being faithful to the fast. And this is the moment when temptations hit Jesus. And this is a different sort of temptation from the one that Adam and Eve face. Like them, we're frequently pulled along lines that are against our better judgment, but defined by our appetites and our ego. That pull and pull towards what is compelling or addictive or comfortable or advantageous. Jesus' temptation is of another sort that we also experience. It's not just a matter of not being strong enough, it's a matter of being empty. That's where Jesus was. He was famished and out of gas, and he was tempted by what might fill the emptiness. Now, I suspect that if the tempter had caught him on a good day, Jesus would have had all sorts of wise answers of his own to the questions, to the temptations that he was given. We've seen him being a wise rabbi on many occasions. He might have told wonderful parables or asked clever and insightful questions right back at his tempter to put the devil on the spot. But strength and energy and cleverness were all gone. Nothing was left. Yet, look what happens. Jesus does not say one word of his own. Instead, he quotes scripture in a simple and straightforward way that is unlike how he uses scripture virtually anywhere else in the Gospels. Jesus has no words, no resistance, no strength of his own. He's simply holding on to God and letting God's words and God's mind come through him. Jesus' response to the tempter is then not a victory of personal spiritual strength in some sort of holy Olympics. Instead, his victory comes from letting the self go, from filling himself with God in his emptiness, because in this circumstance, he has no other option. Now think again about Adam and Eve. These wilderness tests in the temptation account are not a one-time ordeal to get through. They are preparatory paradigms or patterns for the choices Jesus must continually make in his earthly ministry. As we read on in Matthew's gospel, we see how the wilderness experience is played out as Jesus encounters people who are sick or hungry or in need, people who use their connections to power to ascertain his loyalty, people, including the disciples, who worry too easily about how the world defines and assesses greatness and success. God with us. The promise of the gospel is that one who is with you always, even to the end of the age, has already gone ahead of his followers, even to the most forsaken places in the wilderness, even to the most challenging places in our lives. Jesus' wilderness encounter with the tempter in many ways represents his encounter with the cultural pressures of his time and our encounters with our own cultural pressures in our time as well. How does one respond to the very real physical and spiritual needs? What does it look like to trust God in such a context? What are the appropriate uses of human authority and power to serve the world by serving God? Of being in the world, but not of the world? What are appropriate uses for all of these temptations that lie in front of us? For the followers of Jesus then and now, these are essential questions about how to live faithfully in the realities and challenges of daily life. Several months after this test, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you're handed over to your enemies, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time." We can imagine that Jesus could taste the dust of the desert and hear again the voice of the tempter and remember that hunger that reached out even to the stones around him. And Jesus could also remember what he did. He just let go of self. At the end of the day, the spiritual life is never about us, about what we can and cannot do. At the end of the day, it's always about God and about God's gifts, gifts of grace, gifts of mercy, gifts that do not fail. God is with us. Thanks be to God. Please stand and